Hello, and welcome to the newest episode of Landon Nation. It's Landon Kelly Nation. Here with Mark.
Landon Nation. Forever. People like the echo.
The echo that we've all grown to love.
I think the way I'm supposed to do it is, Landon Nation!
Yeah, that's when you sound like a town crier, which I personally like.
I need the horses, like, you know, the clocks. Welcome to the show, Kelly. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Great. Great. My voice is very high. I don't know why. How are you? Yeah, today we are talking about Little House on the Prairie. People might have heard of Little House. Do you think anybody is not, you know, is like a Michael Landon fan, but they're like, oh, I can't stand Little House on the Prairie? Is anyone, do you think? Maybe.
Not that I've...
No, Bonanza is where it's at. You know, like,
no, I'm trying to think because I don't know that I've ever seen someone with that particular take on it. I have seen a lot online, and I've talked about this before on, say, like the Reddit Little House thing. There is a lot of Michael Landon criticism. So I think that there are people who are Little House fans that are not fans of Michael Landon necessarily.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
But are there people who are Michael Landon fans that are just like, I hate Little House?
Well, people are like, I don't like Highway to Heaven.
Or nothing.
But people don't like Highway to Heaven.
And they don't like.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who don't who do not like. I apologize to Ray right now if he's listening. You know, I actually do just have one message if Ray's listening.
How about you shut up?
And unsubscribe. How about that? While you're at it. So anyway. I forget where I was with this, but yeah, a lot of people don't like Highway to Heaven, but they're big fans of Little House and Michael.
Yeah. I mean, I think that we probably encounter, it seems as though Highway to Heaven is maybe the least popular of the three.
Yeah.
But there are people who are into Highway are really into Highway. It seems, even to the point of, they think it's Michael Landon's best role, which I like all the roles. I think they're all good. Mm-hmm. Although as far as the three shows, I mean, Little House is definitely my favorite one.
My favorite is Us.
You know, for the, what would be number two and number three, I guess I'm not really sure. They're just so different, you know, so it's kind of hard to compare them. But I don't know. It's got Michael Landon. It's got to be good.
Landon is good. It's like a Russian kind of guy. Yeah. Oh, Michael Landon is good. So this episode of Little House on the Prairie is Someone Please Love Me.
Which it aired on March 5th, 1979.
Not everyone loved this episode. Someone on IMDb.
Someone please love this episode.
Someone please love this episode.
Oh, yeah!
Let's see. Some of these reviews are just like four words, which I don't know how you can just post a review. This is Charles Ingalls, comma, marriage counselor. Two out of ten stars. Ryu's story and not very good. 2 out of 10 stars. That's from MDC07431. This one gets a little bit longer. Charles has financial dealings with a man who has been neglecting his family because of his alcoholism and grief. That's by TCHEM Good. 3 out of 10 stars.
What is, I mean, that problem? Just gives a sort of summary of the plot, but it doesn't really say why they don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot more than just alcohol. How about this one? Big fan of LHOP, but not of this episode. 1 out of 10.
All right. That's actually pretty funny.
But then there's full reviews, which are pretty good, but a lot of people talk about how, and you brought this up, how there is a Bonanza show that's almost identical.
Right. So this is actually, well, the list that I compiled of the ones that use the plots that we can reference, you know, and I mean, at some point, I'm sure we'll have covered all of them on Land and Nation. But this plot was in Bonanza, which Michael Landon has writing credits on that. But it was Haas in that show who's doing the family fixing. But anyway, so it's kind of interesting that this is one of those plots that he reused, I guess, because he liked it so much, and kind of what I've thought, and I sort of talked about this in my notes, and I know I've brought it up previously, because it just sort of like hit me this one day when I was watching this episode, which, by the way, this is one of those episodes that the first time I really remember seeing it, it was maybe, I don't know, 8 years ago or so, when I was just sort of binging Little House. Mm-hmm. And this episode's on, and it was one of those things where I'm just like, I don't remember this at all. Like, have I ever seen this episode? Because I just had no memory of it. And it's weird. Were they not airing it on TV when I was watching it, when I was like growing up or whatever? I don't know why. I just had no memory of ever seeing it.
It doesn't feel like a Little House episode.
Yeah. Or maybe it was one of those things that it came on. And, you know, when I was younger, I'm like, well, this seems like a boring one. Maybe I will skip it. I don't know. Because I think that there were a few episodes that, you know, when I was in middle school or whatever, watching it, that I thought were kind of a little bit boring.
Yeah.
And some of those now, that when I watch them, and, you know, I can appreciate them now. And I don't know if I really find any episode unwatchable. But there definitely are some episodes that are not as good as other ones.
Yeah. You know, the one, you know, which one I have not reviewed, and it's just kind of like, I don't know, every time I watch it, it's just like a bummer of an episode, and I feel like it's kind of a rehashed storyline, is the one one with the fat guy. I forget
what it's called. Where they're in Winoka? The Man Inside.
Yeah, The Man Inside.
That actor died recently.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
He outlived a lot of people then.
I think, I thought it was, because I remember Pete saying something about it.
But yeah, like, that's one that I remember just being like, eh. You know, like, it's, I feel like we've seen this before, a number of, you know, this type of thing. I haven't seen that episode in so long. It has to be done with Warner Grovecast, but.
Yeah, it is eventually. Kind of, one thing I always think that's kind of interesting with stuff like that, too, is, well, of course, I guess when the episode was made, it was maybe sort of remarkable, but, and maybe in the 19th century, but shows that were made a while ago where the plot is kind of centering on, you know, this overweight character.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, they just need to step into a Walmart and they've got nothing on most of the people that are there. And I'm not trying to like be mean to anybody, but just.
Well, there's definitely an epidemic.
You're sort of like average. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that like average people are like, you know, that obese, but I mean like just, I think it's just so much more prevalent, you know, that.
Yeah. It's become more normalized these days.
So now it's really hard to imagine such an episode even being made where it's such a big deal.
Right. And that's another thing, you know, without getting into too much of where, you know, where I would go otherwise, it's a touchy subject right now. It's a very, it gets a little politicized even. So it, you know, it has to be really touched, you know, with kid gloves. And this, you know, I would imagine, just like you said, a lot of productions probably wouldn't touch that topic anymore. Not in the way that the show did.
Yeah. And like,
there's no reason to change type of thing these days. And, you know.
Yeah. Although I mean, you hear a lot too now, you know, with like, with body acceptance and, you know, unrealistic beauty standards and everything like that. But the actual medical standards for stuff like this, and not that I've ever been told that I needed to lose weight or whatever, but my BMI, pre-pregnant BMI, is just barely, like, the number is just barely over into overweight territory.
Right.
Which is, I mean, I'm really not. Very big. Yeah, I'm like a size 4. I mean, it's kind of I mean, how am I like overweight,
I would categorize that as even petite personally, but
so it's kind of, I don't know. And I know that, like, you know, you're not supposed to put two, you know, BMI is a guide for some things, but you're, you know, there are other factors and you're not really, you know, supposed to, but I'm like, okay, it's a little bit, kind of seems ridiculous that I'm medically labeled overweight, you know. And
like, if 3 more pounds, it would change everything. It's like, well, it's not, you know, all of a sudden it's like tax brackets.
Yeah, I know.
it's kind of insane. But yeah.
But then I've actually thought that, though, when you know, you to hear about like the beauty standards. And I mean, I agree that a lot of the stuff is really damaging, but then sure. I'm like, well, what about the medical labels? I mean, they're kind of a little.
Right. I think that harsh. They, like, you know what it's like. You take your child to the pediatric doctor and it's mm-hmm. like you have all of a sudden these percentiles, right? And it's all of a sudden you're hearing this and it's such nonsense. I think it's such bull. I mean, unless it's an extreme case where your kid isn't gaining or losing weight, there's really no reason to like freak out. That's what right. I wish like new parents would tell me. And I'm sure that you could probably even look back and go like, wow, I really didn't have to worry about that. But you know what? I guess it comes with the territory. You worry.
Yeah. It's part of being a parent. I don't think I ever really worried too much about those stats, just as long as it was, you know, it's overall healthy,
right.
a healthy situation, right? Where, you know, they always give you all the numbers with the percentiles and it's kind of like, well, that's sort of a fun fact, I guess, but
yeah,
it's also just kind of, I mean, not really like what's important, you know?
But yeah, I mean, you look at any television show or, you know, whatever's popular, whoever is popular, and it's like, yeah, there's like these like impossible beauty standards and this like postmodern world. And you can go and read like some really great stuff on like the beauty myth. And people should. I encourage a lot of people to go and read the beauty myth. I think that it's eye-opening to a lot of people because I think a lot of people think of it and they think, oh, I already know that. But when you really read it and you focus on it and digest it, you, I don't know, you start really kind of breaking down what you're surrounding mm-hmm. yourself with media and stuff. And it's only gotten worse, even though we live in such an accepting society. It's only worse now than right. ever, I think, anyway. Anyway,
that was a nice little diversion. Thanks to that. But thanks to a not great episode of Little House, which I looked it up. The actor died in 2022. So it was recent, but it wasn't like it was just the other day or anything. But mm-hmm. yeah.
Rest in peace. His name was
Cliff Emick, I guess. Emick.
Did he write a book about his time on Little House? By any chance?
His time being fat on Little House.
Yeah. He wrote his the cookbook, Little House cookbook.
Little Prairie, big man.
Had to cook for an entire town, but only for one, really. So we open up with the blacksmith smithing. And this is not the bad blacksmith. This is, I don't even think we're in Walnut Grove, right?
Yeah, this opening is in Walnut Grove.
Oh, so.
Because this is when Charles is, because he's buying the horses for this guy. I always thought this was in Walnut Grove, like the blacksmith at Walnut Grove. And he is getting the money, the instructions, everything that he needs to go to buy these horses. Why Charles is doing this?
Yeah.
It makes no sense. I mean, and maybe, and I haven't actually watched the Bonanza episode, so I don't know how similar this beginning is to Bonanza, but I could see the situation playing out on Bonanza where because they have a ranch and everything and they have connections,
mm-hmm.
I could see something like that playing out on Bonanza. On Little House, why is Charles going to buy these horses for this guy?
He's like a horse wrangler or something. It's so
And I know that Charles is sort of like a jack of all trades.
a what?
but it doesn't just it seems pretty out of nowhere that he's doing this.
Yeah, I agree. But here we are, we're opening up finally. Oh, it's a little loud, sorry.
Back on, Sandy.
Oh, busy Charles, busy.
Garden around?
Inside. Don't bother trying the door. This guy's money box out again is bolted 6 ways from Sunday.
We get a lot of laughs, by the way, and this guy's like the white Robert E.
Yeah.
And this guy that he's going to get the money from, he's, I don't know, we've seen him like a million different TV shows, right?
I think he's in 7 different episodes of Little House, and he's in 3 episodes of Highway to Heaven, as you point out. And I was just looking up kind of as we were starting if he's ever been in Bonanza, because I'm like, he has to have been in Bonanza. And he does have a credit on that Bonanza episode, The Decision, which is, what season? Season 4, episode 12.
No.
It says that he's in it, so I haven't seen the episode, so I don't know what he does, but he, I guess, yeah, he's been in all 3. He is a Landon Nation fixture.
Yeah. I have a stupid question. Uh-huh. It's an equestrian question, though. Can't say that three times fast. Equestrian question.
say it with echo.
Equestrian's question. All right. I can't. So a pony is just a young horse, right?
No. Oh. A pony is, there's like a certain size.
Oh.
So it's basically, you know, even when they're full grown, they're still small, basically.
Because remember when Laura sold Bunny? Uh-huh. Was it for like $5? I think. I don't remember the exact amount of money. I want to say it was $5, or at least that's what was offered. And I guess instead she traded for the oven, which is six and change.
Right.
And in this, we're going to learn that he's paying about $25 a horse, but these perhaps are thoroughbreds and like big horses.
Well, so actually what I was thinking is that that didn't seem like very much money. Although there can be a lot of variance. And well, I think that with, when you're dealing with any sort of animal, there can be like a lot of variance, a lot of factors, which, you know, breeding and quality and all this sort of thing. So I guess I was thinking that seemed really cheap, but then I'm not really sure how much was sort of, you know, average or median or whatever the proper mathematical statistical term would be. But I am just Googling it now for here, I'll go into this later. It's more detailed, but just generally what I found is, so we're talking about the 1850s and 1860s, which would be a little bit earlier than this episode, but I would think the prices are somewhat applicable for kind of a guideline. So this says that in the Western U.S., it was possible to buy a horse for as little as $10, but a decent riding horse cost around $150.
Wow.
With a range of $120 to $185. So this actually does, and these are supposed to be really good horses, is what we're told, that they're like the best horses he's ever seen, right? But
they're wild horses, I'm assuming.
I'm not under the impression that they're wild horses. I think it's I thought that Bret Harper, I don't know if he breeds them or if he just deals in them or whatever, but I don't think that they're necessarily, I think they're domesticated.
They poop in a little litter box. No, I mean, it just seems like, yeah, $25 is, it seems low.
But. Then I have this other thing, which is from Bell State University, a graph that's the average cost of horses. It goes from 1866 to 1877. So let's say this is 77. The average cost, it looks like it is about $125. Her horse.
Another thing that's kind of weird is, so Harper is selling 1,000 horses to the military, right? But he's dealing with like some guy who wants 10 horses and who's going to stay at his house. Seems, you know, it just seems
that is a little bit weird.
Like, no job too big or small, you know, that type of thing.
I'll sell horses to them all.
You need a horse? You got one horse? Done. Stay in the house. That's not a maid, that's my wife.
Yeah.
She doesn't need to be tipped.
Hey, dude, get away from that door. You know I'm busy.
It's Charles Ingalls. I came for the money.
I'll be right out.
He's probably, he likes saying that out loud. I'm coming for money.
Yeah.
Probably digging another pit under the floorboards. He's moved that money box of his so many times, it ain't safe to walk in there.
Yeah, he's very jovial.
Yeah, so this guy comes out and he's like, don't lose the money. Don't take the first horse he shows you.
And he also doesn't trust banks. That's the other thing, too. So he's actually trusting Charles to have, which I would think that just even living back then, and especially living this rural lifestyle and being a farmer and having the livestock, he would probably have a fair amount of knowledge of what makes a quality animal.
Sure.
But Charles apparently has, he knows enough about horses that he could really look at a big group of horses and really pick out like the finest ones. It's kind of interesting that this is kind of a side of Charles that we've like never seen before, and I don't think we ever really do.
Well, the real Charles Ingalls was allegedly a bit of a horse thief.
I've heard that. I think, well, the real Charles Ingalls did a lot of things were not quite as wholesome as Pa is in the show.
Oh, yeah!
That's actually what he said when they abandoned their place, and was it Burr Oak, to avoid paying rent?
Mm-hmm.
When they absconded in the middle of the night, he was like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
As they're taking off. Oh, yeah. Just,
oh, yeah!
So, so he takes the money, he goes, he's going to pick out horses, essentially. He's kind of like one of those secret shoppers. Not secret shoppers, but I guess like you hire him and he goes and picks out all your groceries and brings them to you.
Oh, like on what are those things?
An
like
executive assistant of some sort.
Shipt, there's that Shipt app that does that. And then, there's a bunch of different apps.
Yeah, but, like Costco.
Yeah, where you place the order and they, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they always bring you, like, the wrong thing.
Right.
So here we go. Charles goes, he's looking for Mr. Harper.
He's looking for his butt.
And this guy's got a crazy little weird-sounding book, The Bleeding Hand Strikes Back.
Good afternoon.
What can I do for you?
I'm Charles Ingalls. I'm supposed to see Mr. Harper about buying some horses.
He's not in the office right now.
So, like, what is this? I looked it up. I couldn't find the book.
I don't know.
It's kind of
some weird. Sort of a Penny Dreadful, I guess.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
And we have in the back Comanche Springs Carnival Week.
So that actually sounds awesome.
Yeah, we got turkey shoot, log chopping.
Annual foot race.
Bike driving.
Mossy's at it. She's like leg chopping.
Leg chopping.
Oh, log chopping.
No, and also spike driving. So Charles and they have a
horse show.
Pie eating contest, horse show.
Wow.
Wrestling.
Sounds like a good time.
Yeah, wrestling. You know, this really sounds like a pretty good time.
Well, could you tell me when he'll be back?
Not today. If you want to talk to him, go down a couple of doors. He'll be in the saloon.
It's like, all right, thanks.
Bye. Bye. Charles in this episode seems overly amused by everything and everyone.
Check out these posters. I didn't notice this before. You have like the boxers.
Nice.
Tobacco. Bolton. Hey,
what Michael city Bolton. Is he supposed to be in? Did they say it and I missed it?
I think I missed it. I can go back if you want. Should we? Yeah.
I don't know if they say it or not, where he goes.
I think he says it right away when he gets here.
Marco, Sandy.
Oh, busy, Charles, busy.
Gargan around?
Inside. Don't bother trying the door. He's got his money box out again. It's bolted 6 ways from Sunday.
Thanks.
He's probably digging another pit under the floorboards. He's moved that money box of his so many times, it ain't safe to walk in there.
It's even funnier the second time.
Sorry to keep you, Charles. Personal business.
I understand, sir.
Well, you ready to go?
Yep, ready to go.
All righty. Here's the money. $250 cash money. You be careful with it.
I will, sir. I wish you would have gotten a check from the bank.
Don't trust them. I give them money. They give me a piece of paper. That doesn't make sense to me. Now, you make sure you see all the horses Harper's got to offer.
So
don't
buy
up
the first.
Yeah.
So I guess we don't know, but it looks like it's a decently sized city that he goes to.
When Charles leaves, he's like,
"Put it quick.
You want to get paid or you want to get fired?"
Charles is like, "Bye."
Bye. Charles just takes the money and runs. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Whoops. I almost hit this.
Cocaine.
Well, that's what he's doing with the money.
So, yeah, he goes into the saloon and he's just kind of looking, you know, he's trying to track him down. Good music, you know.
I always enjoy the saloon piano stuff when we get into shows like this.
Yeah.
Mr. Harper?
Yeah, yeah, what can I do for you?
I'm
That's how I'm going to start greeting people.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe you had some correspondence with Mr. Gargan from Walnut Grove about buying some horses.
Oh, yeah, sure, of course, the horses. Sit down, Mr. Ingles.
No, no, I don't want to interrupt. I just want you to know I was in town and we can start talking business tomorrow.
Nonsense. Now, I insist that you sit down. Pleasure before business.
Again, thank you very much, but I've got to get my team down to livery and find a hotel room.
Nope, no hotels for you. When you do business with Brett Harper, you stay at his place.
I don't impose.
Well, we have plenty of room. No arguments.
All right, you got yourself a house guest.
Good. Now, please sit down and join us.
I'll tell you what I have.
Easy, lady.
That's what he should have said.
It is really weird how he starts off being so unfriendly, and then suddenly it's, you're staying at my house.
Yeah.
You have to stay at my house.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and then Charles also was planning on getting a hotel. So is he paying for this, or is it being covered by...
Yeah, like, is there stipend of some sort?
Yeah.
And it seems like he would be there for a little while. I mean, looking at 10 horses has to take a little bit of time, right?
Well, and I mean, as we see in the episode, they have to go round up all these horses and bring them in and everything. So I think it's like a pretty big thing.
So Charles is like waiting outside, like, you know.
Yeah.
See, at this point, if I were Charles, I'd probably be like, screw it, I'm getting the hotel.
Yeah, this definitely.
I've been sitting here for hours and hours, and what the hell?
Good night.
Brett Harper's like,
you should totally hit it again, but I
Okay, so your opinion on this, was he just sleeping with the saloon girl?
Oh, so yes. Yeah.
Okay, because that's kind of what I've always suspected, that we are supposed to think that he is making use of services.
I mean, he went in during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he's so drunk and he's so wasted and everything, who knows what happened, right? If
right.
anything even happened, he might have just like fell asleep and like slept it off or whatever. But I think that the intention at least was that, yeah, he uses their services.
Mm-hmm. He's a patron. Yeah, that's what I've always thought. So.
About a little too.
Mr. Harper?
Yes. What do you want?
I'm Charles Ingles. Yeah, I was waiting for you outside.
Yes. Ingles, my house guest.
Yes, sir.
You got a wagon?
Sure.
I think it'd be better if we both went in your wagon.
Yikes.
Giggles.
So, yeah. All right. So they go back. actually, one of the Prairie Review... covers, I don't know which one it is, but it's like almost this exact screenshot where he's holding him up.
I think I wrote a Prairie Review about this episode with the premise being that Charles managed to fix a family without using farm labor.
Yeah. So he comes in as a stumbling drunk. His wife is just, hey.
Can get up by myself.
The whole like licking of his mouth is a little bit much. Now this light that's right here, I guess they just light it every day, every night.
I guess, yeah. It's kind of cool looking.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's just
I'm going to bed.
Good for
bye.
You.
Bye.
Mr. Ingles.
Uh-huh.
Show you to your room.
This whole house is super modern, you know.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, this whole house reminds me of my friend's parents' house, like exactly like it. And it was probably built in the 1890s.
Mm,
so I right. wonder, you know. I think this is a real house, though. I feel like it's not a set.
Mm-hmm. I like the staircase. It looks cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds real. The stairs are very creaky and everything.
This is exactly what my house sounds like. When you walk around, there's no... It's like...
It's like the ease bed.
Yeah. My house is 99 years old this year.
So is the ease bed.
What's an ease bed?
Robert E. and Grace, their bed.
The ease. All right.
My letter is T.
It's not E, it's T. Robert T. So this is where Charles completely insults her.
I'm sorry about that mess, man.
It's all right, I'm used to it.
He puts down, like, two bits and walks away to tip her.
I suppose. This is never a dull moment, working for a man like Mr. Harper.
I don't work for him, Mr. Ingalls. I'm married to him.
Get out!
By the way, the actress that plays the wife, she's in an episode of Highway to Heaven as well.
Yeah, and I think we reviewed it, right? Did we?
No, I don't think that we have, but I think I've pointed it out that she's in there.
I watched
and you know that I've barely seen the Waltons, but this one time I turned on the TV and it just happened to be on and she was in an episode of the Waltons. I recognize
maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Do you remember what episode by any chance?
I don't.
All right. I'm gonna look.
I just know that she was in it.
But yeah, so Charles is completely insulting everyone. Just, you know, he's just completely, I don't know. It's can't blame him for like thinking that she's definitely the worker, right? Let's see. The next morning.
Yeah, I gotta get you. No.
And there's that thing again. Remember we were talking about these like windows above the doors?
Yeah.
There's another one.
Oh, right. In that Bonanza episode. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Come on. Slow down.
Morning.
Morning. Can I fix you something? Some eggs?
No, I'm fine. Just some coffee.
You sure?
Yeah. Just take a black.
Yeah, we should keep track of how many shirts he has in this episode, what he packs. So this is his second shirt so far.
All right.
We're up to two. We had the plaid one and the white one.
By the way, look at this chandelier. This thing's really nice.
Yeah, it's fancy.
Beautiful morning.
Yes.
The one thing about this house, too, that seems a little too modern, so the stuff on the walls and then the ceiling looks very 20th century.
The whole house. I mean, it just, to me, feels like...
The ceiling has those tile things that I'm like, that's totally a 20th century look.
Yeah, like a drop ceiling type of thing.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
But all, like, the cookery and the cabinets and the overall design.
I want to apologize about last night.
No need, Mr. Ingalls.
No, I think it was probably my fault. Your husband and I got to talking, and then we ordered a few drinks. And some men just hold their liquor better than others.
Why does Charles feel the need to cover for this guy?
Yeah, like, I'm kind of wondering. He's making it seem as though he was out drinking.
Yeah, and I don't know why he feels the need to cover for this guy. He doesn't know the guy at all. The guy's obviously a jerk. He's there purely for business. I don't know why he feels the need to defend him to his wife. It's very weird. Mm-hmm. Plus, the woman knows what he's like. Mm-hmm. And when he came stumbling drunk and broke that statue, it was just like another day, basically. So it clearly has happened a lot. So you really think that you can cover for the guy now and she would believe it? I mean, right. And I don't even know why he feels like compelled to do that.
Look at this kitchen. This is a new kitchen.
Yeah.
I'd love this to be my kitchen. I think this is more of a, kind of a dining, eat-in area for the kitchen, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like it. So the kids are outside.
No!
Better go after your dog, Brian.
There's a lot of bullying going on, you know.
No, you didn't. Give it to me. No!
What's the matter out there?
It's like, now you did it. And
line up, lady.
Ryan.
We should totally hit it again, but I get first dibs on it.
That's what they're yelling.
I was playing witch and Samantha tried to take my broom.
It's not his, Mommy. I had it first.
Did not.
Did too.
Just a minute, both of you. The fact of the matter is, it's my broom and I left it outside.
Even this, I'm like, I guess like they had screen material back then, but this whole like
sun porch thing.
Yeah, it just seems newer to me than, I don't know. It seems like 20th century to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Thomas, if you can play nicely with your sister, I'll let you use it.
Alicia. So that is the kid who's going to eventually be Alicia. Charles finishes his coffee, kind of leaves it on the table like she does work there.
Yeah.
Do you see the way he pushes it away? Like,
I should be getting to work.
Ready for my check, ma'am.
Watch.
Well, my husband won't be up.
He just gives it a little puts down two bits, walks out.
For a while, but you're more than welcome to look around.
All right, I think it will.
I'll call you when he gets up.
Thank you.
So he goes out, and I think wow, this is a pretty big ranch. I mean, This looks like their house.
No, it's bigger than their house.
It is. They could fit like three of the little houses in that barn. This is a crazy place.
No.
I found out that when cows moo, it's not necessarily a good thing. It means they're kind of like stressed. So a mooing cow is not what you want to hear.
Don't they ever moo just to moo? I mean, is it always stress?
I don't know. They told us that on a tour of a kosher dairy in up in Pennsylvania.
Oh.
And I'm like, well, I probably asked that same question, and the guy gave me a look like, whoa, nobody really asks questions. You know. But it's like, how come you always hear, you know, cows mooing then?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of wondering about that.
I mean, yeah, I question it, but what do I know?
I mean, I am seeing stuff online that is backing up that they moo when they're stressed, but it says that, this thing says that those moos are more frequent and higher pitched. So there's like a stressed moo.
Like that? Can you give your best moo? Moo!
Well, so now I'm seeing that there's some blog that looks like it breaks down to different types of moo. See, that's what I was kind of looking for, though, because I was like, I'm sure that they communicate, you know.
See Charles doing different moos right now.
Okay, so here's the reasons why cows moo. This is what you only get on Landon Nation.
All right.
Okay. Finding their way. Finding a mate.
I like it.
Hunger. Expressing a need. Mm-hmm. Finding the calf or mom. They need to be milked. Stress or discomfort. So there are various reasons. So it can be stress, but it's not only stress.
I knew it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hi there. So you must be Thomas and you must be Samantha.
How do you know our names?
Magic. That's how I know your names.
Well, we don't know magic, so you have to tell us your name.
I'm Mr. Ingles. Well, that's kind of formal, so you can call me Charles.
Nice to meet you, Charles.
You can call me Charles.
Nice to meet you, Sam.
Her name's not Sam. It's Samantha.
Well, I know what her name is. Sam is short for Samantha.
But that's a boy's name.
So what? You were playing a witch, and witches are ladies.
Yeah, with big warts on them.
You're a girl. Confused the kid majorly. He's got a good head of hair, though. This was a cool haircut in the 70s.
Mm, yeah. I mean, most people on this show have total 70s hair. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They make no effort to really make it look like it's...
Right.
You're lucky. You got a short name.
Well, we can shorten your name up, Thomas. How about if I call you Tom?
That sounds good. I like it. I wish my pod called me Tom.
You mean to tell me he's made it this far in life and he hasn't realized that Tom is a nickname for Thomas?
Nope. He's a proper boy.
I'm just asking.
I better not.
Why not?
Because our pa's sick. He falls down and all. Well, we're not supposed to bother him.
Shortening names is forbidden in this house.
Yeah.
So Charles is breaking, you know, getting the info from the kids. You find out Charles is really from, like, CPS.
That face is pretty funny.
Yeah, this is pretty good. This is, like, a period of time, though. You just wouldn't even find this much personal information being told to an adult.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is kind of a little bit much.
So we I guess it's supposed to show how needy the kids are because they basically don't have a father. I mean, their father is so absent. You know, this is a real Papa Malo situation.
Yeah, this is he is total Papa Malo.
He's like the ultimate Papa Malo.
Yeah, I think that we have to bring this into Papa Malo Palooza. People are like, what is Papa Malo Palooza? Do you want
Bad Dad Palooza?
Bad Dad Palooza. It's actually officially Bad Dad Palooza, but we just brought in the Spanish because, you know, hey.
It's fun to say Papa Malo. So this episode, he really is a Papa Malo. Bret Harper is. And then I suppose Charles is supposed to be our the opposite, you know, the good Malo. Not the good Malo, the good good Papa or whatever.
Senor
Papa, what would that be? Papa Bueno?
Senor Harper is Papa Malo.
Oh, yeah.
So he's got his little... desk bar here, which is pretty nice. You know,
This is kind of something you could see on Bewitched.
You know what? 100% Now that I'm looking at it, definitely 100% Not 99
Yeah, 100
Just come in.
He puts.
Your wife told me you're up.
Puts a little whiskey in his coffee. Yeah,
in a manner of speaking.
A good shot too. Maybe even more than a shot.
Yeah, I mean, we couldn't see any liquid in the cup before he poured it, and now it's to the brim.
Speaking.
What kind of whiskey do you think that is? Do you think it's...
Jack!
Did you have a look around the place?
Yeah, a little bit.
What do you think of my horses?
Your wife looks fine.
Great to be honest
with you. Code, is this code for your wife?
Right.
Might raise the price on me.
I don't do business that way.
In that case, I think they're some of the best-looking animals I've seen.
Good.
Have you ever had an Irish coffee? That's a private question. It's a personal question.
Yeah.
All right, so this is like the only time actually I drank at work, right? Is aside from like we would have like parties and have wine, but it was the day after St. Patrick's Day 100 years ago, and I went out with a lot of friends. The next day, we were all just like,
totally
zombies. So we literally went out to lunch and all got like Irish coffees. And it was the first time I ever had it. I'm like, this is good. It's like almost too good.
Yeah.
Like I could handle this in the morning.
Yeah, every morning.
Yeah. So
you're going to be like Bret Harper.
So I got 15 years clean. Oh, no, I'm kidding.
So that's when it all started.
It all started on March 18th. All right.
Good. You're an intelligent man, but that's just a sample.
Mark, are you drunk right now?
I wish.
A few days to round up all the horses I want you to look at.
Jack!
Take your time. I'm in no hurry.
It's a nice chair.
It's everything in this guy's house is pretty nice.
Man's got to take time.
See, well, I'm not talking about everything. I'm talking about the chair.
His shirt also seems really modern. I mean, I could see someone now wearing that.
This whole, the whole existence on this ranch... is like if you said it was 1947
time travel,
right? Like, do they have like they have a radio in the background? They're listening to like I don't
time
know.
Too.
I would even say this could be the like the 80s.
Yeah,
I got good horse.
Patent leather chair kind of.
Oh, I'm sorry. You want some?
Even the mug kind of looks like something you get at, like Crate and Barrel or something.
Yeah.
Irish coffee.
No, thank you. I'm fine.
Little hair of the dog?
Brett, I don't want to bother you if you're busy, but the children are ready anytime you are.
Well, clearly I'm busy.
I have children. That's what this guy is like.
Yeah, exactly.
Ready? Ready for what?
Oh, for the picnic we planned for this afternoon, remember?
What do you mean, do I remember? You think I have nothing else to think about today? A picnic? I'm running a ranch.
I know.
This woman's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel so bad for this woman. I really
it sucks.
Like, she's just trying to be nice. And we point out in the background that this does look like a light fixture.
It's is on the IMDb page for this episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah, under the bloopers, you can see the light fixture. And that's where I was talking about. You can really see that ceiling that is totally 20th century.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
I like the doors. Yeah, I always like when there are doors like that in houses.
I would even go as far as this vase is like something you would find in the 20th century.
This is basically just 20th century. I mean, the fact that she's wearing this long dress is the most 19th century mm-hmm. thing about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So Charles doesn't like this. He's just like, this is terrible. It's a picnic. The picnic's going to go.
This is not how you treat your family.
This is not how you treat your family. It could be good picnic food. Let's see. All right.
I do kind of appreciate that. I mean, he feels bad, which how would you not feel bad if you're standing there and you witnessed that?
Oh, completely uncomfortable. So sure,
you feel really bad, but it's also, I mean, one, as the wife says repeatedly, I mean, he's a stranger. But it seems like he's getting so personally invested in this. He's on a business trip, basically, and he's getting so involved, you know?
So this is where he's like, I know what's needed in this house. Me.
I smell a little fried chicken cooking out.
Children love it.
So is your house guest. She'll like to join you. I've got nothing to do around here.
That's I love a lot of things.
Very kind, Mr. Ingles.
It has nothing to do with kind. I'd like to come along.
Right.
I'll hit you up the team.
So I was saying...
Well, I mean, really, what else is he going to do?
Well, that's true, but I feel like over here is a refrigerator and they put this door in front of it to block it.
That totally is what it looks like.
So I was saying, I think that he should have spoken to Harper and made sure it was okay with him. And I'm just saying that from the 19th century point of view.
Yeah. I mean, I get what you're saying with that. I feel like since he's so not invested with his family, you kind of are like, well, who cares? I mean, the wife should be able to invite someone else if they want to go. But then also by the standards of the time, you know, probably would be a little bit improper for a married woman to have this other man going on the picnic with the family and everything. Where you paused it right there, he looks like he's totally checking her out.
Right. I'm expecting him to look down at her butt.
Yeah.
Give her a little tap.
Like Hank does when he does a little spank on his
girls. Yeah. I'm looking for any evidence that this is like it can, you know, kids didn't jump rope. What is this?
Yeah.
So let's see. He's going to go to the picnic. Whoa, it's very loud. She's like, I love you, Charles Ingles. Doesn't even know his name. I love you, Michael Ingles.
What a wonderful father.
It looks like he got his leg broken here. That's weird.
That does look pretty crazy. It's so probably from when that horse stomped on it in Bonanza. Oh,
God, remember that.
The horse was really stomping on his leg.
I still don't understand that episode where he gets his leg stomped on, right? But
then the hand is the problem.
Yeah. Like, did they smash the leg so much that it kind of made his hand blow up? like when you squeeze, like, one of those weird, like, balloon things and it's like, it goes the other way? I don't know.
All right. You got me.
We'll be it again.
Oh, no. No, come on. I got to rest.
Come on, just once more.
We won't ask again.
You've said that all afternoon. You've worn Mr. Engels out.
It's my turn. It's my turn. I don't get to meet nice people. So he goes back.
You work hard now. Take a lot of time.
Woo! That was funny. On the surface, I think what he's doing is really nice. You know, like he's having a good time. He does have a lot of free time until the horses are kind of found. But yeah, it's just...
But he seems like he's a bit too involved, too. Mm-hmm.
I'm glad they bought the dragon story. I feel like I've been plowing since sunup.
Yeah, I've been plowing since sunup. Oh, sunup, you say.
Been at it all afternoon.
Truth of the matter is...
Did she just say been at it all afternoon?
Is that what she said?
Dragon story. I feel like I've been plowing since sunup.
I can imagine.
Oh,
you have been at it all afternoon.
You have been at it.
Truth of the matter is,
I quit because I was losing. I can't stand to lose.
And the fact that he's just laying flat like that seems maybe a tad intimate.
Yeah, and where her hand looks like it is. Her hand kind of looks like it's right on his crotch.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like she's going to say something like, I wrote you a song.
We have some tea left.
I'd love some.
What was that?
My letter is T.
It sure is.
Wore me out.
There's a lot of, I don't know, things that you take out of context here.
Yeah, I kind of feel like they almost had to do that on purpose, right?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Oh.
More?
Nope.
More? I've only given you 4 ounces and you've had no water all day. More?
Yeah.
Save the rest for the young ones. Dragon hunting is very thirsty work.
Are you married, Mr. Ingalls?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Uh-huh, yeah.
To away with children, I must...
If someone asks you if you're married, is that what you do? Oh, yeah.
Let me get your text number. What's your number?
Oh, yeah, I've got 4 girls and a boy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Whoa! Sorry, I went to...
Oh, yeah!
Sorry.
Do you have them believing in dragons, too?
As long as I can, I will.
We still have Laura and Braids, so.
I haven't seen the children that happy in a long time.
Yeah, you know what it is when a stranger comes along, plays real hard with your kids, and then goes on his merry way down the road, and the kids expect you to play that hard with them every day.
I've never played with somebody else's kids. Just want to point this out. And especially not hard.
I cannot really relate to that at all, actually. I just am really not interested in other people's kids. It's like, I'm glad that other people like their kids, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I'm really not interested in other people's kids. And then I also find it weird when people seem overly interested in my kid. And it's like, yeah, I mean, I guess you're being nice, but I don't really understand why this matters to you kind of thing, you know?
It's like, back it up!
Yeah.
Now, and I'm also a Boy Scout leader, so I deal with a lot of kids, you know, mm-hmm. and I don't play with them. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I'm not, certainly not playing hard, you know?
Right.
And it's just, I don't know, it's a lot of weird comments are being made. And I just feel as though this is written specifically to give the impression that Charles is kind of leaving, you know, kind of leading her on a little bit, but not really. Like, it's far enough away from that to be
argued. I think it's kind of one of those things where I don't think is really meaning for it to be that way. But when you take this woman who's in this bad situation, she's very lonely. She has probably mm-hmm. hardly ever any adult contact that's like good adult contact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Her husband totally sucks. She's sort of just like really looking for some companionship and comfort. And from that state of mind, you could take someone who, I mean, he says a few things that are a little bit flirtatious, but I don't know that he's really trying to flirt. I think he's probably just being, there are people like that, you know, that say things where it's like, this could be creepy, but it's not really like you're being creepy, if that makes sense. Or, you know, that's not really like how they're saying it, how they're intending it. I think some of the stuff that Charles is saying, it's like, yeah, it could be a little flirtatious. I don't think he's really flirting or really trying to. But he's just sort of being nice and maybe even trying to overcompensate a little bit because he feels so bad for the woman. But then she's in this state where she probably just really like latches on to it because mm-hmm. it's the only positive attention she's gotten in who knows how long.
Right. She really welcomes it. And there really is nothing wrong with that either. I agree with you. I'm just saying, I think the way it's written, it can definitely be taken a number of different ways. But
the only other stranger they know is their father.
Like, that's kind of a crazy thing to say to somebody you just met, like, you know, 12 hours ago or something.
Sorry.
I'm going to kill him, Mr. Ingalls.
He's a Papa Malo.
He's a Papa. Do you know what Papa Malo means, Mr. Ingalls?
Oh, sure. Bad dad in Spanish. Bad dad in
Spanish. Charles had a bad dad. Yeah.
I'm afraid I'm not much fun at picnics.
Or ever.
He's like, well, this chicken is pretty dry. How are those empanadas? Next time, make empanadas for Papa Mala.
So then, like, there's a sequel to this episode where Caroline goes to teach her how to do everything properly, how to cook well.
It's like Rocky. Yeah. No, I said from scratch. It's like Hell's Kitchen. What does he call people? Like when he insults them, the guy on Hell's Kitchen.
I don't know. I think I know what you're talking about, but it's been a long time since
I forgot. One of his insults.
My husband wasn't always like this, you know.
Does he call them Papa Malos?
Are you a Papa Malo?
It's a silly thing to say. No. How would you know? You're a stranger.
You know, sometimes it's easier to talk to strangers.
Brett was a fine husband. Devoted to his children.
I wish Charles was holding a, like his violin, his fiddle, and playing.
He spoiled them too much, but he loved them.
That kind of is what's missing from this episode, him playing the fiddle for the children and their dance and stuff.
Yeah, kind of. That would be pretty awesome.
Especially Michael.
He unbuttons his shirt one more.
Every time you go back to him, it's one button more. All right, so Michael, we find out, died in a horse accident. And the dad blames himself. Papa Malo blames himself. And that's what turned him into a Papa Malo. I don't know how to say good dad in Spanish.
But Papa Bueno? Would it be Papa Bueno?
Bueno Papa? I don't know. Yeah, Papa Bueno. Is it?
Buen Papa?
Buen Papa. Buen Papa.
Is that, is that how you say Buen? Bueno.
Like Bueno?
It just says B-U-E-N. Buen Papa?
Buen Papa. It's good. Buen Papa.
We need Babel when you have Land of Nation.
Oh, yeah! So we find out Michael died, and he went from Buen Papa to Papa Malo. They're pretty nice shots, right? Like, this is pretty cool. Like, she should have this as a framed photo in her house.
Yeah. But as you point out, you know, we actually hear the reference to...
This is a pretty good shot of him.
To their son that died, Charles and Carolyn's son that died.
Right. Which
we don't hear him talk about a lot.
Should I plan on talking about that?
Yeah, sure. Might as well.
How does a person ever get over it?
Oh, here we go.
Our son died that night.
My wife and I lost a son, Charles Jr., about 5 years ago.
How does a person ever get over it?
I don't think you ever get over anything like that. I suppose that's why faith is so important to me. Just don't think a person can handle something like that alone.
So, you know, it's pretty sad. You know, and I was very surprised when I watched this just a few years ago when he brought that up.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think the only other time that I can think of them really specifically mentioning it is that episode when Carolyn thinks she's pregnant, but it's really menopause.
Right. And she's like, I don't want this to happen again.
Actually, they bring it up when she is pregnant with Grace, I guess it comes up because she really wants to have a boy. Mm-hmm. That's right. Then he does say it then. He's like, we had a son and he died. It's over.
So I guess he does bring
it up. And then I guess later on when she I don't remember if they specifically mentioned that they lost the son, but he does kind of, when he's talking to the reverend, say, like, you know, I really would like it to be a son kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So actually, no, I don't remember if they directly mentioned that they, you know, lost the son, but there is the desire stated to have the son, you know, which obviously they had previously lost.
Another thing that's kind of interesting about this episode that I want to mention is, sure, it's a Little House on the Prairie episode, right? But it's really just a Charles Ingalls episode because we don't, I think it might be the only
episode. Well, I think I was going to, I started going into this earlier, but then I kind of got sidetracked and went off on something else. But it just hit me this one day when I was watching this episode that I was basically thinking this is a Highway to Heaven episode, essentially.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Except that it's on Little House. But we have, it's basically like Charles Ingalls, Michael Landon's character, you know, going around and fixing families, which is very much what a lot of Highway to Heaven episodes are about. And it's like you almost can see, like, when he comes up with a concept for Highway to Heaven, it's kind of like, well, this is a formula I've already done. You know, I've already done the thing where I, like, go around and fix people's lives and give them, you know, kind of second chances. But I think that just knowing what we know about Michael Landon's life and his troubled upbringing, and kind of his, in the shows that he did, really his desire to sort of display sort of this ideal family kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And if he's kind of making this really wholesome TV sort of maybe as a kind of reaction maybe to what his upbringing was like, or, you know, definitely influenced by, you know, maybe what he wished, you know, had been different. You know, kind of this sort of episode and a lot of, you know, highway stuff. And even elsewhere in Little House, we get these sort of, we know the episodes where he's kind of reforming people who are troubled.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so idealistic. I mean, to take this family situation that's so dysfunctional and it is completely healed. I mean, it's so idealistic, right? To just, you know, over the course of a few days, he fixes his family.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like he's only there for a few days, right?
Yeah.
But I also, you know, the other thing is, like, we have no other cast members in this episode.
Right. Yeah. Which, we just have the voiceover from Laura at the end.
Is this a one-off? I mean, do we have anything else like this in Little House? I don't think so. I mean, outside of...
I mean, we do have episodes where people are notably absent. You know, like certain characters are notably absent.
Well, like when the Garveys move, I think like that's... But I think there's always cast members in like the beginning or something.
Right.
But yeah, but this, we just show up at the blacksmith.
Strange. That's kind of interesting.
So yeah, I think, you know, I would actually buy into this being even... like a test for, you know, something like Highway to Heaven.
Yeah, it's just like the beta version of Highway to Heaven.
He's like, this is great, but we got to bring it into the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see. They talk about how the kid wets his bed.
Which is, of course, one of those things from his personal mm-hmm. life that he brought into.
And this is mine.
They're nice, too. Here. That robe.
That wallpaper. Jeez.
Well, you better sit in my bed and tell us our dreams.
His room is bigger than his whole house.
Right, it really is.
That's his. I do not. You do too, and you know.
You don't sleep by the foot of your parents' bed.
Hey, look at her lamp. That thing's really nice too. This brat.
Wait a minute, what's so bad about wetting the bed? Lots of people do.
Well,
I still wet the bed. Yeah. I was waiting for him to say that.
He's like, I'm wetting it right now.
I'm not trying to make light of it. But yeah, this is something that, I mean, he has that movie, you know, where he, mm-hmm. which I'm sure we will review at some point on here,
yeah.
Where he brings that in. And we know that that is a thing from his real life. It was a really traumatic experience growing up he had the problem that his mother hung the bed sheets out
for
everybody to see. I mean, it's just total mental torture.
I mean, yeah, and kids go through this and they grow out of it. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's a part of life. But I cannot imagine doing something that you're embarrassed of. You literally have shame, and your mother, to teach you a lesson, lets everybody know. It's cruel. It's just
it's very cruel.
Child abuse.
You?
Well, sure they do. I did.
Are you making up a story?
Cross my heart.
Do you still?
Of course not.
Yes. That's why he's like, of course. I'm doing it right now.
Only on Saturdays.
I go out of it just wait time.
This is cheat day.
Only when I drink coffee after midnight. Cheat day.
Actually, that's so funny. The coffee after midnight, I thought of that. Yesterday, I was watching it on the Pluto channel, and it was the episode when Adam's going to get that teaching award. And then when, with the honey money, mm-hmm. with Albert and Laura, they decide to give it to them.
The honey money.
Yeah, the honey money.
Honey
and then
bucks.
It's the middle of the night or whatever, and then they decide to go tell them. Mm-hmm. And then Laura and Albert want to go, and Charles was like, yeah, let's all go. I'm like, of course you would say that. You just probably had a gallon of coffee like 30 minutes ago. Of course you're ready to just go on this trip in the middle of the night.
See, this is why I drink until about 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah, so I'm just ready to go at the drop of a hat.
I hope you're right.
I am right. Don't worry about it. Now, I'm going to give you that dream. Are you ready?
Yep.
All right. This dream takes place way, way up in the clouds.
Don't make it scary.
I'm not making it scary.
You are too. Because when we're up in the clouds, we're in heaven. And we're dead.
This isn't heaven. This is a different kind of place and different kind of clouds. Because these clouds are made out of marshmallows. And you can eat as many of them as you want.
Are they kosher? No.
And we can run around, play hide and seek around the clouds. And if we get real tired, just close our eyes, lie down on a cloud that's just like a pillow, and sleep, and sleep, and sleep. And that's what I want both of you to do right now. Dream about those dreams. Don't eat too many clouds or you get stomach aches.
Well, I just dozed off, sorry. Jeez.
That whole thing, a dream to dream, the Bonanza episode with this plot, I think is called a dream to dream, isn't
really?
It?
Really? No, I don't know. That's amazing.
I'm looking for that the document I put together with all those episodes listed, because I think that is what it's called, actually.
A dream to dream?
A dream to dream. Yeah, it's called a dream to dream.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Charles checks in with Leslie.
I tell you, that's quite a pair.
At this point, his shirt is unbuttoned all the way. That would be really funny, right?
Well, what about, that's quite a pair.
Yeah.
Yes, they are. After that workout you gave them today, though, sleep like logs.
I guarantee you I will.
I'm sorry about what happened today. I was feeling a little sorry for myself, I guess, and I just wanted someone to feel sorry along with me.
I think we all feel sorry for ourselves sometimes. I know I do. People have to work hard at being happy. I sound like I'm giving a lecture now, huh?
No, you're right. It's just so easy being happy for so long. I guess I never learned how to work at it.
Never too late to try. Good night, Leslie.
Good night.
It would have been nice if, like, at that very, if it was cute as soon as he leaves, that would be pretty incredible. We see all this, like, all these horses, just crazy, crazy horses.
I told you to take a few days to get all the horses.
Well, now I can see why.
Here's another shirt, right? Did we see this one yet?
We haven't. This one is striped, so this is shirt number 3.
I really like this guy's blazer, or smoking jacket, however you call it. It's like, we just see the horses. It's we should have had wild horses queued up, but we don't.
Yeah, this looks like total stock footage you could see. What's that word I'm looking for?
This is a great. This might be our next sticker right here.
Oh yeah. Is that what the term for it? That like stock footage. That just like looks something that would appear in any number of movies or television shows. Just these random horses running.
Yeah, it's like just stock footage. Yeah.
Yeah.
Get right at it, sir.
guys are like, do I get to keep the one I'm riding right now?
Can I get one of them whips?
Yeah.
Look how quickly he gets over there.
He's trimmed. What's that? What's that word for like when people just like
creepy?
No, when they just appear like when they're. Why can I not think is of it? Like it in, starts with a T.
Is it like from Seinfeld? How the guy would just show up behind her?
Oh, the sidler. Yes. No, that wasn't. There's some word for when somebody. So, like, you're in one room and go to another room without actually walking between. You get what I'm saying?
No.
There's some word for, like, that, but...
Teleporting?
I don't know. Teleporting, oh, yeah.
Okay. What's that? Like, bing! He's like, pie? People don't see what we're doing, but...
He'll be along soon. He's helping the drovers bring in the horses.
That'll give me time to get everything ready.
By the way, she has like all this like copper cookware that is so nice. I love that stuff.
That smells good. I hope you made a bunch.
I did. Oh, I forgot the pie.
Yeah, I'll get it for you.
Are you going to be eating with us again, Mr. Ingalls? I guess you're really, I guess we're extending a real vacation for you.
I am kind of surprised that they actually don't have a maid or something. Because they have a lot of money, it seems. I mean,
a lot of money.
Throwing around these numbers with a.
Yeah, like if we were to guess, I mean, if we were to believe that he's selling 1,000 horses to the army at $25, that's $25,000, of course. Let's say it's $20,000. But either way, like it's between like $500,000 and $600,000 in today's money.
I mean, this is real bonanza level of money.
Yeah, it really is.
The way that they're throwing money around on that show. Yeah. The guy is just rolling in the dough. And of course, there are like the costs associated, right, with maintaining the herd, the people that he employs, all the stuff like that. But still, he's totally making bank.
And like, where are these ranch? Like, I feel like a ranch like this would be in California or like Texas.
That's why I kind of wish that they told us where he was.
I mean, if they did mention it, it doesn't.
But I'm under the impression that it is like he didn't leave the state.
Right.
It wasn't a huge trip, I don't think. I mean, he got there in his own wagon, so.
Put your pretty hands in that hot oven.
Now, if I said to a woman, I can't let, you know, talking about her pretty hands, I think that that's too much. I personally do. Maybe that's me being just, you know, crazy. But I think that's too much. But whatever. And she's just like,
yeah. Oh. I mean, well, that's kind of one of those things where do I think it's kind of a weird thing to do or say to, you know, this random woman?
You know what?
Yeah. There are some people that say things like that. I don't know. And they... I'm not necessarily trying to be creepy. I don't know. It's one of those weird things.
You know what? I know what you're saying. There are some people, like I would say Southern people could pull off something like this a little bit more than a Yankee like me.
Some like aggressive New Yorker.
Hey, those pretty hands. It's quite a pair. You like sausages?
Like sausage. Better let me get that bread, Brian, before some oven burns it up.
That's a pretty good one. You like sausage peppers? You like calzone?
There you go. That'd be funny. That's what he pulls out. It's not a pie. It's a calzone.
What's this? Oh, it's an Italian.
I haven't had a compliment like that in many years, Mr. Ingalls.
I haven't had a calzone ever.
He's like,
what you just said. Well, I hope you haven't forgotten already about my hands.
Yeah.
I always speak the truth. And my hands are dirty.
He's just hitting up some of that whiskey. What are you talking about? Oh, yeah, I said that. Okay.
Wait, we have to play his little thing in half speed just to see. Hopefully it will. Come on.
Said. I hope you haven't forgotten already about my hands.
I always speak the truth. And my hands are dirty, low. The rest of me is when I go wash up.
Wink. And he winks at her.
Oh, that's great.
Papa Malo. How do you say house guest in Spanish? Let's see.
And I think maybe another valid question would be, how would Carolyn feel about him telling this woman she has pretty hands?
Well, that's another thing. It's kind of like, I don't think Carolyn would, she'd be like, oh, so she is pretty, you know.
But then again, I mean, there was that whole handyman thing, so.
But he didn't know about that. Well, I mean, Carolyn doesn't know about this. Yeah, I guess. I don't know. This looks like it's from Sears catalog 1961.
Yeah.
I could serve you up a little to tide you over.
That's like totally.
Okay, that needs to be half speed.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Let's.
That smells good.
Let's see. No. All right, let's.
Oh, that's me. It's my stomach you heard growling. He doesn't get home soon. I'm going to start dinner without him.
I could serve you up a little to tide you over.
This is like they've been day drinking or something, and they just can't wait to eat dinner.
Yeah, they broke into, like, his whiskey.
No, that's all right.
Nah.
It's all your fault, you know.
Oh, my.
Well, you told me to work at being happy. A woman can't feel happy unless she feels like a woman.
Jack!
That's crazy.
That's actually kind of a crazy thing to say. A woman can't feel happy unless she feels like a woman.
Oh my God.
That kind of seems like it could be an invitation.
Oh, yeah.
For him, that actually is a little over the top there, though. So she comes down and, you know, she kind of fixed herself up. For him to be all that astounded by it.
Yeah, let's play it in real speed just to.
No, that's all right.
And the music.
Well, look at you.
It's all your fault, you know.
Oh, my.
Well, you told me to work at being happy. A woman can't feel happy unless she feels like a woman.
She's giving this, like, shoulder shake thing.
I dig love. When she feels like a woman.
Yeah, I have to find. Let's one more.
All your fault, you know.
Mine.
Well, you told me to work at being happy. A woman can't feel happy unless she feels like a woman.
Well, then you must feel very, very happy.
Brett's home.
But, I mean, it's just really over the top for him to be that blown away by how she looks.
Right.
I mean, it'd be one thing to maybe be like, just be so, say that someone looks nice, you know, like, oh, you look nice. But to be all, whoa, look at you.
Wow, you clean up nice.
And it's also kind of weird because he's been there for a couple of days and she's around the house most of the time. So I don't know. Is it really? So, I guess what I'm saying is it's like, so she hasn't really been dressed up or whatever, but it's like she's also just sort of around the house, like everyday business kind of thing. Yeah. So I don't know.
Brett comes home. He shows that he is the Papa Malo.
It'd be kind of not like funny, but if he just comes home and he has the saloon girls with him or something.
Brett, dinner's ready anytime you want.
No, I'm not very hungry.
Well, I made your favorite.
I said I'm not very hungry.
He actually did grab her elbow, which is almost surprisingly affectionate for.
I didn't catch that. Let's see.
Well, they're all in the corral now, safe and sound.
Fine.
Brett, dinner's ready anytime you want.
No, I'm not very hungry.
Well, I made your favorite.
I said I'm not very hungry.
I mean, so he's being, you know, really short with her, but that's actually almost a surprising gesture given how much he's, you know,
They have a lot of rugs and carpets.
I mean, I'm kind of guessing that the house was probably just carpeted that they're using.
Yeah, but I mean, it just doesn't seem like a house in the 1880s.
Nope.
And this looks so new. This looks like, I don't know, what this little end table.
We can set it up before you leave in the morning.
Charles is back on day one shirt, by the way.
Oh, yeah. All right. So,
I guess he has the three shirts.
Fine.
Brett.
Yes, Leslie, what is it?
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing at all.
I have a lot of paperwork to do.
This interaction between them, though, just to sort of break it down a little bit. Okay, so Papa Malo, yeah, he totally sucks. He's totally a jerk and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But in that scene, he almost doesn't seem as bad as he could be, which is not really, I guess, saying a lot. But
he's,
I mean, when
yelling,
she
not.
Says his name and then he's like, yes, Leslie, what is it? And he actually stops what he's doing and he looks at her and he's like waiting for her to speak.
Yeah.
But then she doesn't, you know, say anything. So he obviously is a really bad guy and the things really, you know, went off the rails with him. But I suppose maybe that's kind of what happens with stuff like that. Like she kind of shuts down. Right. I guess what I'm saying is that, I mean, like there, she has probably some opportunities where she could communicate with him and she doesn't. But maybe just because of the relationship has just gotten so toxic that it's kind of like, what's the point kind of thing.
Right. I mean, I wonder, was this the first time she's ever tried to, you know, look nice, which I'm not going to believe, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's sad, but at the same time, you're right. He doesn't, it's not like he's yelling or anything like that. He's just being like kind of busy. You know, he's like George mm-hmm. being busy. So Charles is like, yeah, I'll take a kid alone on a horse, you know, go ride with them.
So they're my kids now.
They're my, yeah. It's like, we're basically,
you know, I just adopted a boy earlier this, you know, season. Maybe you'd like me to adopt you.
He'd love to go horseback riding.
I bought him a cow.
He lived under the stairs.
Yeah. Why does he sound like Horace?
I don't know. Somebody, you remember the thing where somebody was saying, like, we were doing voices of animals? Like, the high-pitched thing?
Oh, yeah. That she really thought it was funny. And yeah. Dr. Quincast, one of our members, that she loved our animal voices.
Yeah. I don't know what that voice is. I'm thinking it's similar to the one we were just doing.
Yeah, I love it when I love it when voice. People love things like that, though.
Yeah,
it makes me happy.
Yeah, me too. I also, one of the things we did recently, I don't know if the episode has even been released yet, where we do like what the person sounds like in real life. Like this kid would be like from the Bronx or something.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, enough for nothing, but I'm just trying to act. I'm just, you know.
Well, I think, was that maybe a Dr. Quincast episode? And we decided that the actor, what actor was it? But we decided that he sounded like that in real life based on nothing. We just totally made it up for him.
Wait, it was a kid with black hair. It was definitely, I think it was Dr. Quincast.
But now I can't remember what character we did that for. But yeah, we made up this whole voice for him, and it was ridiculous like that.
It was like, yeah, no for nothing, but yeah. I forget what the voice was.
Thomas, how many times have I told you not to get on a horse?
It's Tom!
How many times did you call me Tom?
I said Tom!
Many times!
It's not the boy's fault, Mr. Harper.
You stay out of this, Ingalls. Now answer me, how many times?
Oh, and he really slapped him. And, so he runs to the guy he's known
for. His new dad.
Yeah.
I didn't mean anything wrong, Mr. Ingalls. I didn't.
I know you didn't, son.
Son?
He calls everybody son. See that episode, The Angry Heart, when there's that kid that he does the farm labor reform camp with?
Mm-hmm.
Who's staying with his grandparents in Walnut Grove and was being, you know, bad.
Yeah.
When he called him son, and then when he gets mad that he's calling him son, he's like, that's what you think. You think you're my paw. And yeah, I'm like, he kind of does. Right. I mean, like, he calls everybody son, but Yeah. He kind of does act like he's like a father figure to everybody, sort of.
I have a friend who does that. He calls every male son. I'm like, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, that is weird.
But, yeah.
You go on now. You go on in the house.
So Charles is like, I'm going to yell at you. You're in trouble now.
You had no reason to do that.
And Ben comes.
Because you were drunk.
I asked the boy to go riding with me. If it was wrong, it was my fault.
You have no right to tell me how to discipline my son.
I do if you don't treat him like a son. Anybody can have a child. It doesn't make him a father.
It's like, wait, what was that?
Tell me how to discipline my son.
I do if you don't treat him like a son. Anybody can have a child. It doesn't make him a father.
This is like mic drop moment.
I mean, this sentiment of course that he's saying, I totally agree with.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, completely.
I do kind of think it's a little bit out of place for him to just be lecturing this guy.
Yeah, in front of his own house and all. It's kind of crazy. So let's see. They're all kind of just yelling and like, blah, blah, blah. But mom finally blows up. She's like, I've had enough.
What do I mean? I never seem to bother you to stag around drunk in front of your children half the day. Never speaking to them, never being a father to them. Michael wasn't your only child. Did you forget that?
I told you never to mention my son's name.
I mean, I couldn't imagine losing a kid in any way. You know, like, it's just crazy. Right. But you would think, you know, you kind of have to, like, stay strong for your other kids, you know, of course.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, clearly he turned to booze and
women.
Yeah, loose women.
Yeah. They're both wearing red, which is interesting.
Yeah. Her dress reminds me of Laura's dress a little bit.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kind of.
Let's see. So she's like, I'm out of here. I'm leaving. She's really fed up.
Don't leave me.
Bye.
Bye. It won't work this time, Brett.
You mean you won't even give me another chance?
Another chance. And another. It's been too long. I'm tired. A stranger came to this house. And in a few days, gave your children more love and understanding than you've given them in 4 years. For the first time in their lives, they know what it's like to have a father.
So it's Ingles.
Yes, you lady.
He's the reason why you're leaving, isn't he?
I'm leaving because I have to.
So, kind of crazy, you know, we're like...
As you pointed out in your notes when you were like, kill Ingles, that would be a crazy plot twist.
Yeah.
For the guy to just get unhinged and go after Charles.
Yeah, he just calls his cronies, and they take him out. Boom! Shoot him right in the head. Charles is in this crazy room with the crazy carpet. Do you see that? It's like, I don't know what it is. I was thinking it's cork, but I don't think it is. I think it's carpet.
Yeah, that is really weird looking.
Come in.
And he's just in the room smoking. This is a non-smoking room, Mr. Ingles.
I wish that he had this big smoking jacket on or something. That'd be hilarious.
And like a big pipe. Like a huge like ivory thing.
Or alternately, he's sitting in there with a bong.
Where's the...
We should totally hit it again, but I get first dibs on it.
She come on, first man in the dead with laugh. I watch it before rush the door like
I was hoping you went to sleep.
No, I wasn't tired. I'm sorry about the trouble. I just didn't know.
Even this, her coming into the room, you wrote that, I think. Did you? Her just like coming in to his room at night, it just seems like a bit much. But I guess after that fight,
Mm-hmm.
She can do pretty much whatever she wants. She's going to ask him to take her and the kids into town when he leaves tomorrow. And Charles is like, what did I get myself into?
Big-ass
like,
house.
He's like, yeah, right. It's really nice. Charles is like, I think I should. This test is failing. I'm like trying my theories and they're just not panning out. The kids want to talk to Charles and basically are saying that their dad drinks a lot of whiskey because he's sad. He blames himself for Michael's
dad. Alicia's like, this is my second dad that drinks.
Yeah. Wait, so she was.
Yes, the Edwards when? Kid.
But when. No, but I mean, when.
Or I mean, like the Sanderson kid who's adopted by.
But she comes later, right?
Yeah, she does. Yeah. Well, no, I mean, like, she's already been one of those kids, right? She was Alicia already. Then the Edwards leave Walnut Grove. So she's here now as this other character. But then in season 6, when there's the return of Mr. Edwards, she's once again Alicia.
It's just so weird.
You can help.
Give and now she's in that meme. You know that cat one?
No.
So there's that meme where the two women who are kind of like yelling, and then there's the cat sitting at the table really? Yelling she's back at them. Yeah, that's her.
Oh, I had no idea. That's funny. Mm-hmm. Look, that's kind of weird. She kind of vanishes.
She's teleporting it's like
Bewitched.
Too.
It's like Bewitched. Bing! Bing! This is pretty good. Like, I was like...
Yeah, that's how they did the special effects on Bewitched.
Looks like blood on the door. That really is exactly like... All right, that's kind of funny. We could do like a Bewitched edit.
Yeah.
So Charles is, you know, he's got all this stuff packed up. He's getting out of there.
So he's back to his day 2 shirt. Okay, this is what I actually was paying attention to. So he had 3 shirts, and he's going through them in order.
I think he stole towels.
Yeah. The really fluffy ones, the little shampoos.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. You see, like, one of these statues missing because he took
them. Here's your money.
A bill of sale. You know Ingles? I've been sitting here for the past few hours trying to figure out a way of stopping my wife from leaving. Everything from pleading with Leslie to fighting you, and neither one of them seems to make much sense.
Like, why would he fight Charles? Like, really?
Well, because that conversation he had before when he's like, oh, it's Ingles, huh? Like, you're leaving because of him.
But what is that going to... I mean, if he were to fight him, what is that... It's not going to make her stay.
It'll make him a man.
You just can't make another person love you.
You never really tried, did you?
This is also like, I mean, so he has known them. He doesn't even really know them. You know, he's been in their house for a few days. And they've been having issues for years, apparently. But for him to be like, you never really tried, did you? I mean, how does he know that? He's known them for a couple of days.
Right.
So he doesn't know everything that's gone on between them.
He has no idea. He doesn't know if this guy goes through phases of being physically abusive or, you know.
But I mean, like, we don't know. Maybe there were times that he did try and it didn't work and then he gave up.
And that was the impression I got. I mean, but, yeah, it's just.
Not since Michael died.
I mean, I guess he kind of says there that he didn't try, but still, it's like you don't know what the dynamic is. I mean, because really, the wife could have really kind of pushed him away, too. I mean, it's like, I don't want to sound like I'm blaming her because she's portrayed as not a bad person in this where the guy is. But it's like, apparently we've had 4 years of them having problems. And I mean, a lot can happen in 4 years. We don't know what the whole history is.
Yeah, I mean, a devil's advocate type of thing. It's kind of like, well... You know, maybe he just really needs to talk this out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he doesn't have that outlet.
I told you, I killed my own son.
She said there was an accident.
4 years ago. But no matter how many years ago it was, for me, it's always yesterday.
Or do you think you're the only one in this world who's ever suffered?
So this
is your classic Michael Landon speech. This is where we get it in this episode.
And it's risky because you're talking about something really sensitive, and you're talking about, like, you know, this guy's looking for more of, like, sympathy. Like, it's going to be all right.
Yeah, that's actually, we have a kind of similar sort of speech in Dr. Quinn when, after Ingrid dies, and when Matthew, what they kind of call going off the deep end, but in my opinion, it's not totally the deep end. But, you know, the Hell on Wheels episode, there is that scene where Sully kind of has this sort of thing where he's kind of lecturing him, like, you think you're the only one who's ever lost somebody?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
I'm not asking for your sympathy or your forgiveness.
Well, good, because you're not going to get either.
I hate you.
For 4 years, you haven't been ever.
Sorry. He's like,
ever to go against an order I give you again. Do you understand? Do you understand? And a father, you haven't been anything. You got two children sitting out there who need an awful lot of love to make up for what you haven't given them.
You think these past 4 years have been easy for me? I told you I killed my own son. Do you think you could live with that?
Oh, come on, Harper. You're not punishing yourself with that guilt. You're punishing your wife. You're punishing your children. Destroying their love was no accident.
Get out.
The music.
No, you don't love your wife. You're just afraid of being alone.
I'm not afraid of being alone, Ingalls. I've spent the past 4 years working very hard at being alone.
Charles is like, you guys suck.
Can I see you for a minute?
Wait in the wagon, children.
In this dirty old wagon? Watch.
Oh, there's a wire on it.
I was just thinking that. Look out for that wire.
I found myself.
It's got a piece of, like,
he walks out, and the girl's hand is huge.
It looks like it has a piece of bologna hanging off it. What if we could see the little piece of wire?
Yeah.
Wrong.
It's like, listen, you're not coming with me. I'm going a different way now.
I mean, what about that conversation he just had with the husband makes him think that this is going to change now? I mean, that he did say that he was trying to think of ways to keep his wife from leaving, but I don't think there was a lot of other promising stuff that just happened.
Yeah, me either. I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Nothing's wrong. I just want to talk to you for a minute.
Will you marry me?
I'm not going to take you.
What?
I'm not going to take you into town. If you want to go, you'll have to have somebody else drive you.
I'm not going to take you into town, but I will take you home as my wife.
Right. All of a sudden, like, we hear the music kind of come in as he's talking.
Is it because of something Brett said to you? Because he's in there drunk and you feel sorry for him?
He's not drunk and I don't feel sorry for him.
Then what is it?
Because he loves you and you love him.
You're wrong.
Am I? Just look at me and tell me you don't love me. It's as simple as that. Look at me and tell me you don't love me.
If only he were like you. I need...
You need someone. You needed someone for a long time. But Leslie, needing and loving just aren't the same thing. Some of the things you see in me are the...
You hear all the horses. Like...
So when he says the whole thing, that needing and loving just aren't the same thing, and what you see in me is what you used to see in your husband, he kind of is acknowledging that the wife kind of is...
Right.
Falling for him. Point. So he seems aware of that. But he also is recognizing it's like, well, you needed this attention, so you really, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's almost, it's like he's aware of it, but then he's kind of like, I mean, I didn't really try to encourage this. I was just being nice. And then you, what you saw in that was, you know.
Yeah. And that, it's like, you know, you cleaned yourself up, so get on in there.
Things you used to see in your husband. Remember, I told you once that a person has to work at being happy.
Yeah, you told me that yesterday. I've only known you for a couple of days.
Remember? I think your husband's ready for that work. But you gotta give him a chance.
If only I could be sure.
You sure you love him, aren't you?
Yes.
That didn't seem so, like, sure. It's like, yes. He's really rich.
And you know your children do.
I know.
And what else do you have to be sure of? Come on.
So they go in. And we see Brett.
I need a fix, cause I'm going down, down to the bits that I left uptown.
You're not leaving?
No.
Brett just rips his shirt open. He stands up and rips it open.
I won't make any promises. And I won't plead.
Wait, so I'm not willing to actually put any effort.
Yeah, what is that? I was just going to say, I'm not going to make any promises.
Wait, let's just break that down a little bit.
I won't make any promises. And I won't plead.
So I'm not going to plead. I'm not going to say please stay. I might continue drinking. I might become worse. And the women, it's going to stay exactly the same.
Something I was going to bring up. So we both agree that we think that he's been, you know, using the services of prostitutes. Sure. Mm-hmm. Do you think his wife knows or thinks that?
I think that Leslie might be pre-sheltered, and she might not realize that.
Because to me, in addition to all the other stuff going on, that would be something really difficult to reconcile.
Right. That would be the straw that breaks the camel's back for most people, right? I mean, that's the unforgivable part, or the part hardest to forgive. So, yeah, I don't know. But yeah, for him to say, look, there's a good chance nothing will change.
Well, and that's just totally not the, I mean, that's not what you want to hear someone say in that situation. I mean, really more realistically is it's like, I'm going to try to change. It might take a while. I might mess up here and there, but I really am going to make an effort kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I will try.
Oh, well, all right.
I mean. But see, he could say, I promise to try. I mean, come on. Phrase it better.
I screwed up. I am going to try. I see the problems that I've...
Even here, there's not an apology.
No. It's more than she's gotten from him in, like, you know, 4 years, though.
Deal.
Deal.
Let's shake on it.
All right, everybody out.
Where's Mom?
She's inside with your Pa. She's not going.
She's not?
That's right, she isn't.
It would be funny if he went out, left them in there, and drove off with the kids in the wagon. He's just bringing them home.
You're my kids now.
Run that house and give her a hug.
Ma! Pa! Oh, Mr. Ingles, I knew you could do it.
I don't want you ever
ever to go against an order I give you again. Do you understand? Do you understand?
He's giving a nicer hug to these kids that he's known for 3 days than he does to his own.
Definitely than he does to Carrie.
Yeah, I remember he was like, when he was like, bye.
He doesn't even want to say, he's like, tell Carrie I say goodbye. So he's going on the 100-mile walk. Tell bye to Carrie for me.
Tell Carrie I said bye.
Bye. Bye.
Oh, I didn't give him a dream, boy. I just kind of woke him up a little, that's all.
I'll never forget you, Mr. Ingalls. Never.
And one year later, who dat? You.
I go on, get in that house.
I love you, Charles.
I love you. I love you, son.
Exactly.
It's like another successful reform.
I like it.
So he gets up on the horses, and we get a little voiceover from, because, you know, they're like, all right, well, we have to pay Melissa Gilbert for every episode because she does play Lauren Hill's Wilder, so.
It seems like the horses almost just have to be behaved all the time for this to really work.
Yeah. It reminds me.
I mean, it seems like if something happened that scared the horses, it would just get chaotic really fast.
Yeah. I would imagine it would be really dangerous. Also, yeah, I was kind of like comparing this to if you ever see people like walking like a bunch of dogs, which I
right, don't. They have like 20 dogs that they're walking.
Right. That's Charles is like a dog walker, he's a horse whisperer.
Pa got a letter from the Harpers 2 years later. They wanted Pa to know they'd had another child, a son. They named him Charles Michael Harper.
So they named their child after a man that they met for 3 days. They never saw
him. Reconciled their marriage.
Oh, God. I guess.
How do they even know the address to write him at?
If you look closely, the little house is right there. That'd be hilarious.
That would be really funny.
It's like it's right down the street. Yeah, so I think this is a cute episode.
I mean, I find it kind of hard to believe that things are just magically so much better.
Yeah, but they are. And that kid would grow up to become senator or something. Yeah, I think it's a cute show. I mean, it's a cute episode. I like the fact that it's just Charles Ingalls. Like, we don't have anyone else.
Well, this kind of, too, when going back to the sort of this kind of planting a seed for Highway to Heaven, if you kind of think about it that way, I mean, this is really like, you know, Michael Landon can carry the show himself.
I mean,
which doesn't mean that there's anything against other actors in Little House because we get a lot of good acting in the show.
I wish
but, I mean, it's like he's capable of himself, you know, carrying an entire plot.
I wish I had the Highway theme song to play like right here as he's driving away. You know,
that would be funny.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of the same. He drives off into the to the next town. Pretty good. Well, Kelly, thank you so much for doing this. People should go and check out Landon Nation on the Facebook, the .com. You should check out all types of stuff that we're doing.
And also check out Dr. Quinn Cast if you're a Dr. Quinn fan, if you're a fan of us.
Yeah. If you like
this style of podcast, we could maybe even get you into Dr. Quinn if you're not into Dr. Quinn, because we have gotten people into it. So you know,
I have to say that off the top of my head, I can think of at least maybe even a dozen people who watched Dr. Quinn and totally got into it. I think that we've also gotten people to even just give it a try. And maybe.
I got a message from somebody once that it was either a message or they put it in our group. But either way, you know, somebody that had never watched the show and just stumbled upon the podcast and really enjoyed it and then started watching the show. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Amy is our most recent person who did that.
Our most recent convert.
Yeah, and she's, I don't know if she ever heard of the show before, but she was like, she thought we had pretty good banter, which we absolutely do. And we, yeah, she gave it a try and she really enjoys it now. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it was really funny because she posted, like, what is this, this, and this from? Like, you know, we...
I'm trying to find out where our clips came from, which episode. Because I think she, as she was working her way through the series, and she was wondering where various clips showed up. Because it is always so funny when you're just watching the show, and they just come up, and it's really hilarious.
Yes, lady.
Which is from Magical Mystery Tour. I almost feel like it's worthy of an episode to go through each clip and give the history of the clip.
Oh, that'd be funny. That could, like, be like a special edition episode that we do.
I mean, I wouldn't mind going back and finding the moment, because we found this one.
She sure did.
In real time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember going, that was really funny. And we went back, I kept playing it back, and we just thought it was so funny that we...
I mean, I remember laughing so hard my sides hurt when we were recording that episode, because... Oh, and yeah. It was ridiculous because, I mean, when I had seen that episode so many times... And it never really stuck out to me how crazy that was until we were recording.
She sure did.
And then it was kind of like, what is that?
It's just funny when you isolate a couple things, it just becomes so weird.
And you remember Colorado?
And Matt is just, you know, he's... I don't have that one here. I should always, though. I have to update our clips. So I even have hogwash in here.
Hogwash, yeah?
I have a lot of ones that we don't really use so much anymore.
Like, no, you want to quit.
We use them for a while, and then maybe we kind of go through phases with them, I think.
Oh, wait.
There's a colossal circus coming to town.
Like that. Also from that episode, it's so high.
Yeah, I don't have that one. That's a good one. Or that, but this is more recent.
It was cocaine.
That's from Highway to Heaven.
Also a Land and Nation feature.
It's the best.